This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. We'll talk into what the commies are furious about now. It looks like the American media is about to be given a stern whipping from Trump, which is a very good thing. All that, emails, so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to first point this out because this was James Uttmeyer. He's Florida's attorney general. I would like a little bit of credit when people steal my ideas. Nevertheless, this is what he said.
Florida's been leading on immigration enforcement, supporting the Trump administration and ICE's efforts to detain and deport criminal aliens.
I did not provide the soundtrack, but now I wish I had.
The governor tasked state leaders to identify places for new temporary detention facilities. I think this is the best one. As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz.
Alligator Alcatraz. Slapping some prison out in the middle of all the gators in the swamps. I have believed for the longest time in prison islands. I'm talking just like the French Empire, Papillon, and all that stuff. I believe, this is why I wanted to purchase Greenland. I believe we should purchase these islands, and the worst of the worst, that would be politicians and illegals, are sent to these places. What, Chris? What? Chris said, how much do you think you'd save on guards? Well, look, I should be clear. I don't necessarily want people mistreated. I mean, I don't want prisoners beaten and tortured. I don't want to be that kind of a country. That's not what I'm talking about. So I would want plenty of guards. I would want to provide them with food. I would want to provide them with, if we're talking Greenland, some clothing. You know, nice warm coats. I don't want to abuse prisoners. I don't believe in that at all. I'm one of the very few people who actually, like, what I find out about bad prison conditions, it bothers me a great deal. These are human beings. Feed them. You know, you can keep them in prison. That's fine. Keep bad men in prison. I don't care. Feed them. Treat people right. Don't let people be victims of violence and all that crap. But either way, what's wrong with a penal colony? What is wrong with a penal colony? You can get valuable work done. What, Chris? What? You're talking about Papillon, the movie. Oh, no, you're talking about Dreyfus. Dreyfus. Remember, we did that history episode on the Dreyfus affair. See, this is the problem. It's movies, books, and movies like Papillon and the real-life version of the Dreyfus affair. That was a fascinating history thing. The Dreyfus affair, that kind of stuff has soured people on the prison colonies, because you end up taking people who are innocent, just like they do now, and they throw them in prison. There are innocent people in prison. It happens. It's horrible. So you take an innocent person and you throw them on a prison island. The problem with that was it wasn't just that an innocent person went to prison, which happens. The problem was the French used the island prison thing, the penal colony thing. They used it in the way Jewish producer Chris just attempted to use it. Hey, we don't even need to waste money on walls and guards and stuff. Let's just, yes, you did say no guards, Chris. That's practically what you said at all. You want to hand them a spear and leave them on the Arctic, and that doesn't work, okay? You can't do that. That's what the French tried to do. They were trying to figure out a way to drop their bad prisoners, or the ones they hated the most, on an island, and then not have to pay. You don't have to pay to do, we don't need all these guards. We don't need to provide them the best food. They're kind of on their own. Best of luck, guys. That's not what I'm saying at all, but I am a huge penal colony believer. And this is why I have backed Trump in his efforts to purchase Greenland. I don't know that anyone has even floated using it for that reason, but since it's a big frozen block of misery, it's the perfect place for imprisoned government people, FBI agents, politicians, and ICE. Whoever ICE picks up, all these illegals, especially if you've been really violating the law a lot, more than just violating our sovereignty, really violating the law, you should have to do a nice long stretch at a very cold penal colony in Greenland. And I don't mean making it super nice for them, get me wrong, but I don't want people starving to death and freezing to death and I don't believe in any of that stuff. I'm not down for that. Anyway, the commies are super mad because Trump put up a couple flagpoles. Trump put up a big American flag flagpole and a big POW-MIA flag. This is what we were talking about yesterday. And Trump has figured out how to use leftist reaction to him to his advantage, and he's been doing this forever. American Democrats have spent a decade telling all their followers that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler, that everything, that he's an authoritarian. It's been 10 years of this.
So this is not the first place authoritarian regimes have taken over. And when you look at what has happened in other countries where that has happened, they use certain issues to actually try. Immigration is one, trans issues.
Yeah, you got authoritarian, he's Nazi, he's Hitler. He said that 10 years they have beat that into the minds of their mentally ill support base. Now you have people like this person.
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. And I just.
Now they've almost created their own prison, a prison of their own making, as the saying goes. Now that you have told your people, your support base, over and over and over again, Nazi, Hitler, the end of the world, authoritarian. Now your people, they expect you to oppose Hitler whenever Hitler does something. After all, you told me he was Hitler. You said he was a white supremacist. You said he was the end of everything. And now, when Donald Trump takes a popular stance on something, and he does that a lot because he's really a populist at heart, when he studies the numbers, he takes a popular stance on it. He does so with the knowledge that Democrats will feel forced to take the unpopular stance on it. The greatest evidence of this is the tranny stuff. It is wild to watch it. Over the last couple years, the American public has slowly but surely chafed on all this stuff. They are done with it. They're done with all the weirdness. They're done with doing it to kids. They're done with these people plaguing women's sports. They are completely done with it. But the Democrat Party, they've created their own prison, and they feel like they have to defend it no matter what. And when Donald Trump comes out during the election and says, hey, no men and women's sports. Remember how big they were on that? That was not only put into the official Republican platform. Donald Trump started running commercials in states all across the country. I know because I watched him here in Texas, running commercials all across the country saying, get men out of women's sports. Get men out of women's sports. Democrats opposed it. That's an 80-20 issue. But because Donald Trump took one side of it, they automatically assume they have to take the other side of it. And they've created that prison for themselves. An American flagpole? Democrats are in the middle of a branding crisis where the country thinks they're a bunch of America-hating communists, which of course they are. They know this. That's why they're talking about reclaiming the American flag. So Donald Trump goes out and puts up a 100-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag on it. They trashed it. They can't help themselves. to not to you or me, to normie American. How does that look? How does it look when the American president raises this gigantic flagpole? And of course, he had a big media ceremony where he answered some questions, and he's got the construction guys behind him, which of course he always does. They're sitting there. They're in their hard hats. They seem like good dudes. He's sitting in front of the American flag talking about, oh, this is what we needed. We needed a big flag, and Democrats oppose it. It looks bad. It is bad, but they've created this prison. Remember that poll we read to you? Democrats, the majority position is that their representatives are not fighting Trump hard enough. That's what they want. They want more opposition to Trump. Wild. All right. Let's talk about California and Mexico. Let's do a bunch of things before we do that. Let's get your meat where it needs to be. We need to get your meat right. How do you do that? How do you make a perfect chicken every time? Or a perfect brisket, a steak, roast, prime rib? How is it perfect? What determines it? The temperature. You cook to temperature. And as all my barbecue nut friends tell me all the time, if you're looking, you're not cooking. Put it in the oven, put it on the smoker, put it in the whatever, and walk away. But then how do you cook to temperature? The IQ sense. That's how. From Chef IQ. The IQ sense is this modern wireless cooking thermometer. And they've improved it, I should note. It handles up to 1,000 degrees now. This wireless cooking thermometer goes in your meat. Your phone tells you when the temperature's done. They have recipes on it, all kinds of different fancy ways you can use it, but your phone will tell you when it's done. Perfect. Every time. You want to never mess up another piece of meat? ChefIQ.com, code Jesse at checkout. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Ask Dr. Jesse is tomorrow. And you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, 2 points. Regarding the claim that California was once part of Mexico, prior to 1821, it was Spanish imperial territory. Mexico claimed it as a successor to the Spanish imperial government. I give you all that. All of that stuff's fine. But I don't quibble about these details anyway. It doesn't matter. I don't care that it was once Mexico. You lost the war, now it's ours. That's how conquest works. Every inch of ground in this country, on this planet, has been conquered. And it will be conquered again. Did you know that? The current state of affairs is never the permanent state of affairs. At some point in time, on every single spit of ground on this planet, someone else is going to come along and conquer it. We conquered the United States of America. We conquered it. We conquered it from the Indians. We conquered it from the British. We conquered it from the Mexicans. We conquered it from the Spanish. We conquered it. We got here, decided we wanted it, and we took it. Period. That's how it goes. That's how all of it goes. We took it. You don't have to apologize for it. It's part of your history. You shouldn't even feel bad about it. You didn't do it. Even if you don't like conquest, you didn't do it. You get to enjoy it now because someone else did it, but you didn't do it. We conquered it. And the guy goes, regarding Gabbard and nuclear weapons, I have read that even Hiroshima and Nagasaki were not enough to convince the Japanese to surrender. Rather, it was the Soviet announcement they would join the invasion of Japan that caused them to take their chances with the Americans. What do you think? Well, there are a couple factors in Japan's surrender that are unknown, to be honest with you. I was going to say overlooked, but they're just flat out not known by a lot of people. One of those factors is what this guy just talked about. The Soviet Union had just seen victory over Germany. They did really, really bad things when they were conquering Germany for a couple reasons. First, the way the Nazis conducted themselves during their invasion, oh, the endless murders, and they're Nazis, right? They conducted themselves like Nazis, abusing, slaughtering civilians, created a deep, burning hatred in the Soviets, and they were always going to come for their revenge if they got the chance to. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is the Soviet Union was a communist country. And communists, as we've talked about a million times today, they do not share your moral values, your moral founding at all, at all. They don't share any of it. You would be mortified if you woke up tomorrow morning and you found out a platoon of American troops had, what's a country we don't like? Iran. Everyone hates Iran right now. A platoon of American troops stormed into an Iranian village, killed all the men, women, and children, rape, murder, everything else. You would be disgusted and you would be outraged, wouldn't you? I would hope you would. And I realize those kinds of things have happened before in the past, but they were an outrage. Remember the My Lai massacre in Vietnam? People know about it to this day. Why? Because it was rare, and it was an outrage. The public was all, what? Why? Because the values of our country are not that. The Soviet Union has none of those reservations. None. They believe in rape, murder. The things they did to innocent German civilians, one of the most undertold stories out there. Shockingly barbaric. Well, news travels fast. Your Japan, you are very tied to your land. It's sacred to you. The Japanese people, the emperor, just all the parts of Japan are very traditional people. You're already facing the prospect of the Americans coming in. We've already been bombing all their cities to dust. That alone is bad. But man, America wouldn't conquer Japan the same way the Soviets would have. And yes, that did move them towards surrender. But another part of it, and in fact, it's an argument people against dropping the bombs use all the time, is the Japanese people were on the verge of rebellion themselves. They were starving to death. The government had taken all the resources. We, the American Navy, we had cut off the entire ocean. You know, it's an island nation. If you don't have a navy to clear the way, which they didn't by this point because we'd crushed it, we were sinking all the shipping. They had no food coming in. They were starving. Doesn't matter how loyal people are in the beginning. When people start starving, people turn into something different entirely. People will eat other people. You will kill. You will do things when you're starving to survive. It's human nature. The Japanese people were on the verge of rebelling against their government because they were starving. That the Japanese government knew. Between that and the bombs and the Soviet Union, they just, look, you can say, well, we'll die to the last man, but that's not how it works, right? What, Chris? Yeah, Chris is right. I mean, Chris said, well, they would have rebelled eventually. How many lives did the bomb save? Look, we're not going to know the answers to all these questions, but all this stuff is historically accurate. You know, Japan watched what was happening in Germany, and they didn't want Soviet battalions marching through Japan for obvious reasons. Switching to Pure Talk is just as obvious. I'll just point that out. Just as obvious. It's a no-brainer. When you switch to Pure Talk, you pay less. Right away, that's going to get Chris. But when you switch to Pure Talk, you're also taking money away from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, which you don't need anyway. That's another benefit, not supporting a company who hates you. So you're paying less. You're not paying the bad guys. You are paying the good guys. Pure Talk's CEO walked the jungles of Vietnam, for Pete's sake. Pure Talk's current initiative? They're handing out American flags to veterans. American-made American flags. By the way, if you have a veteran you'd like to nominate, go to puretalk.com/nominate and put in somebody's name. Maybe get somebody a flag. Why wouldn't you switch? I don't want a new phone. Keep your phone. Or maybe you do want a new phone. They have those too. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250 say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, gearing up for an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. And you can email your questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I don't know why I just did that hand motion. You know what hand motion I just did? I know you can't see because it's the radio. I guess you could be watching on, is it jessekellyshow.com, Chris? I thought so. Why are you looking at me like that? I understand it's my website, but I don't do anything with it. Someone else does that. I don't know how to do website stuff. Either way, it's jessekellyshow.com. No big deal. You can watch me do it. But I was doing the hand thing where you kind of take your hand and you have it flat in front of you and you go up and down. Remember when you used to do that when you were a kid and you put your hand out the window and you let the wind take your hand up and down? What are you shaking your head, Chris? You didn't do that? You people not do that? Were you not allowed to? Were you not? Well, oh, I know why you didn't do it, because you were living in miserable Texas and you can't put the freaking windows down during the summertime or else everybody will die of heat stroke when you're doing 90 up the highway. In Montana, we actually have days that aren't 8,000 degrees. And so you can roll the windows down and do the thing with your hand where you're going up and down. I can't believe you never did that. Corey, did you do that? Thank you, Corey, for being a normal human being. What's wrong with you, Chris? Dear Jarhead Jesse, could we have saved thousands? Oh, gosh, everyone wants to talk about this stuff today. Could we have saved thousands of our soldiers' lives and even Japanese lives if we had just fought the Japanese on our own territory in World War II? What do you think would have happened if we'd never gone across the Pacific to hit them back? Her name is Karen.
Okay.
It's kind of a different take. What if we just let Pearl Harbor go and say, hey, don't come back or we'll beat you up? I have this thing, and I'm not saying what I'm about to say is morally correct, okay? But I have a thing. I am a citizen, an American citizen. And I view citizenship as, one, an incredible privilege, and two, an incredible responsibility. I believe as a citizen of my country, I have an obligation to serve my country in some way, whatever way that is. It doesn't have to be militarily. Serve my country. Care about it. I believe it is wrong, I'll put it this way, to not be politically involved. I believe it is wrong. I think it is wrong to wash your hands of how your country is led. So I believe in responsibility as a citizen. But I am not a subject. I am a citizen. You are not a subject. You are a citizen, meaning obligations go two ways, not one way. If you were a subject, you would just have to live to serve the king, serve the government. You have to provide, and they don't really have any obligation to you at all. No. You are a citizen. The government has obligations to you. And deterrence, hurting people, war. These subjects are always uncomfortable. Here's what I think. I expect, as an American citizen, if my country is attacked, if anyone, a terrorist unit, a country, whatever, if anybody attacks my country and kills my countrymen, I expect my government to go kill other people on behalf of me. And this is so I will be safer in the future. You have to make it known globally that there is a price to be paid in blood for hurting Americans, and I believe that is one of the critical roles of government. In fact, I know it makes me sound like some kind of a barbarian. I swear I'm not Genghis Khan. I believe that is one of the main roles of our government, and it's what they should prioritize, killing people. I really mean that. I expect my government to kill people who have harmed Americans, who are threatening to harm Americans. I want the government to do one of the only things government does really well. I want them to kill people, period. Japan made a fateful, fateful decision. Strategically, one of the worst in the history of warfare, maybe the worst. They gathered up a big naval strike force, sailed it across the Pacific in secret, showed up at Pearl Harbor, and tried to take out our Pacific fleet. And did take out a lot of it. They missed the carriers because they weren't there, but... okay, you did that. I got it. Your country made a decision. Now, I, an American citizen, I demand my government go kill a bunch of Japanese people in response to that. Not because of revenge. Not out of revenge. Because if you don't, if you let that go, if you let Pearl Harbor go, if you let 9/11 go, if you let something like that go, what you are doing is you are guaranteeing that someone else will do the same thing. The rest of the world has to watch your response and say, wow, I don't want that coming for me. Be careful. There's a lot of controversy around America's unconditional surrender policy during World War II. People debate it to this day. They debated it at the time. Is that wrong? Is it wrong to never allow, I mean, suing for peace, having some sort of a conditional surrender is really most of the history of warfare. Most of warfare has ended that way where, okay, I lost, you won, but I'll sue for peace and we'll agree to terms and I'll have a little of this and you'll have a little of that and the war is over. We took a totally different tact and we said unconditional surrender. You will give up everything. You will throw yourselves in front of us and then we will decide where you go from there. And that's debated to this day. And there are great debates on both sides of that. But what did we say to the rest of the planet when we made those terms known? Unconditional surrender. You attacked us at Pearl Harbor. You will now be smashed and you will prostrate yourself before me and you will make sure I own you at the end of this. What do you think the rest of the world was thinking as we were pulverizing Japanese cities to dust? As we watched them, as we made them board the USS Missouri, surrounded by our troops, and we made them sign unconditional surrender documents with B-79 super fortresses, or B-29, sorry, super fortresses flying overhead saying, yeah, we have more bombers than you can imagine. I own you now. You may not like that, and there are plenty of debates against that, but what did the rest of the world think? The rest of the world thought, let's not attack America. You know, I think we'll pass on the whole attacking America thing. I don't want to die. Exclusive. Paramount delays $35 million settlement with Trump as media giant fears bribery backlash. This case has not gotten a bunch of news. You've heard about it. We've talked about it before on the show. But Donald Trump suing CBS for that 60 Minutes interview where they edited Kamala's answers, it's actually really, really, really important. It's really important because when these media organizations, well, actually for much the same reason we were talking about, if Trump takes a pound of flesh out of a major media company, because they lied so a Democrat could win the election. What that does is it sends a stern message to all the others that, yes, I realize you're communists, I realize you're savages, I realize all these things, but you had better be really careful with your lies or you're going to be stroking me a big check too. That is a valuable thing Donald Trump is doing. I'm glad he's not letting it go. I hope he pastes some to the wall. Not because of spite for them, because it sends a message to all the others. Here's my message to you. Get some gold. We don't know what's coming tonight. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. Nuclear sites, war. We don't know. We haven't even dealt with our economy yet. We still don't have a big, beautiful bill. Are you sure about your retirement right now? Have you fortified it at all? When I say fortified it, I don't mean buying bricks. Do you have precious metals as part of your retirement yet? Gold, silver, whatever. I don't care what color it is. Let Gold Co. do that for you. They do it for you. I can't do any of this paperwork technology stuff. I let them do it for me. They will take care of it for you. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau for a reason. I've used them personally for a reason. Their reputation precedes them. Get a hold of Gold Co. If you want to know what they can do, they'll give you a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit. Call them, 855-817-GOLD, or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. A couple more things before we get to headlines I didn't get to. Things that I also didn't get to. I wish I'd said that differently. Here was Caroline Levitt.
President Trump's pro-growth agenda is delivering for the American worker. Through the first 5 months of the Trump administration, real blue-collar wages are up nearly 2%. It's the strongest growth in nearly 60 years and a stark contrast from the negative wage growth seen during the first 5 months of the Biden administration.
Let's celebrate some good. And let's not discount that illegal immigration is raising American wages. I mean, deportation of illegals is raising American wages. Our costs have increased because of illegal immigration on everything, housing, medical care, everything. And our wages have decreased because of the mass importation of foreign slave labor. That blue-collar guys are bringing home more money right now blesses me to no end. I love it. And again, back to the immigration. These two things are linked.
In the month of May, under the Trump administration, zero illegal aliens were released into our country by Border Patrol. Let me say that again. Not a single illegal alien was released into the interior of the United States of America last month under this administration.
That's amazing. I don't know what's more amazing, that we did zero or that the Biden administration brought in 65K in one freaking month on purpose. Evil, man. Evil. And again, this is why you speak up and speak out when they float out some trial balloon about a policy you don't like. Well, I'm not really sure we're going to deport any more farm workers and the hotel guys. You raged about it. Now this is the policy.
I think what the status is right now is we continue operations on farms and hotels. However, we do it in a prioritized manner. A lot of worksite enforcement operations are based on criminal information, criminal investigations, such as forced labor, such as trafficking, tax fraud, and money laundering.
I wanted to explain why they end up rounding up a bunch of people on construction sites and hotels and things like that, because it can get confusing. Are they just showing up to grab anyone who's illegal on there? Which I'd be totally fine with if they were, but that's not actually what they're doing. You see, they go after guys with criminal records first. But they have stated anyone in their orbit, including families, you're going to. So they show up at your house. You have this criminal record, DUIs, murders, rapes, all these things. Your wife, kids are there. You an American citizen? Nope. Congratulations. Get in the back of the truck. You're gone too. Exact same thing at job sites. Criminals get jobs too. They don't all just commit crimes for a living, so they work other jobs, construction jobs, things like that. That's going to normally attract the criminal types. I know I was one, so they show up on these work sites. You'll find a guy who was trafficked over here or is doing other trafficking, doing drugs, dealing all kinds of things. They're going to stop everyone on that job site and say, show me your papers. You can't show the papers, you are gone. It's a very, very good thing. We haven't had policy like this in a long time, especially when you juxtapose that with Democrats.
And to my Republican colleagues who say, I don't want any undocumented people in this country, I actually agree with you. So let's document every single one of them with a speedy path to citizenship. How do we fix this problem?
I don't like him, but I feel so bad for Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries, you know, a minority leader in the House of Representatives, he understands that his job, he'll be judged on how many seats they win in the midterms, how Democrats do in 2028. And so he's constantly, he has to uniquely monitor public opinion polls. At a time when Democrats are cratering popularity-wise, Donald Trump is rising popularity-wise. What's driving all this? Illegal immigration. Donald Trump rounding up and deporting illegals is unbelievably popular with the American people. The more people he deports, the more Democrats stand up and scream into the camera that illegals are the most important people on the planet. Over and up, this is the
I have a constituent who is deaf and mute. He was picked up by ICE and transported, and we are still looking for him. We had a list of...
He's deaf and mute. So how did he tell her? Man, what, Chris? We can't ask these questions? She said, I mean, of course she hasn't heard from him. He's mute. He probably didn't even know she called. He's probably already back in Guatemala. And she's trying to talk to him. That's his. I mean, honestly, that's on her.
And now
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Czech fake dentist gave root canals after reading online instructions. Is that an indictment of the 22-year-old Czech dentist, or is that an indictment of dentistry itself that you can perform a root canal after looking at videos online? Also, I'm totally convinced I could do some routine dentistry. Yes, I could. Why don't you think I could, Chris? I think I could. I feel like my hands are, what? I do not have the patience of a toddler. And anyway, you don't have to be patient to work on people's teeth. I'd be fine, Chris. I might go be a dentist. Netanyahu says all help welcome in striking Iran's nuclear sites with a little hint, hint, nudge, nudge. That would be you, Donald. UFC icon Conor McGregor floors club goer while still holding a drink in his hands. I don't know what kind of suicidal human being goes marching up to the former champion of the world lipping off in a club, but man, did he wake up the next day and regret that. U.S. Navy achieves 2025 recruiting goal 3 months ahead of schedule, and happy for them, it happened during Pride Month. Jim Acosta says the far right has infiltrated the heartland and led farmers astray. This is back to what we were discussing, how they try to hold your face and keep you only focused on them. And the second you could escape their lies, you did. You went to social media. You went to alternate news sources, and they can't stand it. Now you're being manipulated because they don't own you anymore. We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email your questions in right now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.